Welcome, welcome back to season two of The Global Entity, a podcast, blogcast, travel community all about festivals and sustainable tourism and living life from the heart. Today we are having a super special episode because the launch of season two is actually happening next week. But as Luju Festival is happening this weekend, we could not help but want to do some reruns of Luju Festival Experience 2023. So I really hope you're going to enjoy these very dear to my heart episodes because they were the start of this beautiful travel community that we have today. It was the start of a dream. It was our first accredited festival, and it meant the world for me at the time, and it still does. So going back there this year to experience it is absolutely amazing, and so is reliving all of the beautiful memories I made there last year. If you are in the region of Eswatini, I definitely recommend you taking the time to book your ticket to Luju Festival. It is a high-end fashion, music, and culinary experience. It's a festival that celebrates diversity, and I really hope that you're going to enjoy these episodes. There's more to come. They will be published as the countdown to Luju Festival happens. Thank you guys for tuning in once again, for being here with me. I promise that new, freshly written episodes will be starting next week. Stay tuned for more. A few weeks ago, I received the incredible news that I had been accepted as a media at a fashion and music festival called Standard Bank Luju Festival in Eswatini. It is the blog's first accreditation and the start of something new and amazing. I envision experience-based festival stories, close-ups of the artists and gems we find, logistics around the festival, tips and tricks of how to have the best camping experience, and so much more. All of this to build a comprehensive festival map for all of us festival lovers. Tag along and see how it goes. I am beyond excited to take you guys with me on this experience of uncovering the essence of yet another, likely very beautiful, festival in Southern Africa. Beginner tips on solo traveling and crossing borders from Mozambique. Despite my historically dramatic experience of crossing the Mozambican land border on my own, I had decided to take the local bus called Chapa or Kombi to Eswatini. I arrived at Legends Backpackers in Ezulwini Valley after a journey of 16 hours. The first 8 hours were simply waiting at the bus stop for the bus to fill up. I had been told to be at the bus station in Basha, downtown Maputo, at 8 in the morning. At 2 o'clock, the Chapa was only half full, and we still didn't know when we would be departing. At that point, I definitely started feeling stressed about the situation. I did not want to get stuck at the border at night again. I approached the driver for the fifth time. He looked at me with tired eyes and explained that nobody can honestly say what the Chapa will depart, since they can't know when the bus will be full enough to leave. And since the bus is dependent on its passengers to leave, they will tell you the time they think will make you happy so that you choose to travel with them. I sigh with irritation. I get the dilemma, I do, but it is so inefficient and dishonest, it makes me crawl with irritation. It wasn't what I was told yesterday when I came to arrange my trip. My phone battery is already running low, but there's no point in leaving the bus to charge it now. The bus could leave at any point. At any point, meaning anywhere between the next 5 minutes to the next 2 hours. I sigh again. I think about my friend Inga, who always used to smile at my impatience and say, "In Mozambique, we wait. It is a daily activity here." With a much grumpier demeanor than her, I cross my arms and sit down in the bus for yet another 2 hours of nothing. When we get to the border, it's dark. As we park the bus, I look at the driver. It is the same driver who left me here the last time we were here. I try to catch his eye now, but he stubbornly avoids all contact. Maybe he remembers all the trouble from last time and wants to avoid any involvement. Or maybe he feels guilty about leaving me here with all male police officers in the middle of the night. I know I would. I don't know what it is about my passport that makes all the officers huff and gruff when they receive it. After some back and forth, I do get my passport back and I'm allowed to continue traveling. I'm not used to this, having to argue with authority about what is right and wrong. In Portuguese, it makes me nervous and uncomfortable as hell. I guess I should see us as free therapy for my people-pleasing tendencies. Back so soon, the Eswatini borderfully says with a smile as he stamps my passport. So smooth, no overly inflated egos or inappropriate questions. I smile in return and explain I am here for the Luju Festival. The officer in turn wishes me the best of times. And that was that. This is how it should be. Pre-Luju jitters. When I wake up Friday morning, the festival excitement is quickly replaced by chaos. The guy who was supposed to be my videographer at this festival has cancelled. This was supposed to be my first festival with a team. A huge investment and a step forward for the blog. Furthermore, he was also bringing all of my outfits for the festival, as well as my winter jacket, a must-have in Eswatini early August, the end of winter season. Not to talk about the emotional roller coaster of getting ditched the day of your first big gig. What a shit show. Sort of like that reoccurring nightmare of showing up to a performance and only realizing on stage that you're naked, or coming unprepared to a pitch. I go into crisis-fixing mode and rush to the Gables, a mall close by, to see what can be done about the wardrobe. It only hits me mid-chaos-induced shopping spree. I am about to participate in a fashion festival. A festival that specifically has as purpose to enable and give space to local brands and crafts. I immediately put down whatever I'm holding and leave the mall. On my way back to the backpackers, I start to laugh. Stress can really be blinding. I was in Eswatini about to experience a high-end food and fashion festival. Today was the day of dreams and adventure. What else really mattered? Sure, nothing was going as planned, but when has it ever really? I could feel the worry and stress from this morning washing off me, and when the media lady later on put the press band around my wrist, I vowed to always remember this moment, the moment of dream weaving and creation. As soon as I go through the main entrance of Luju Festival, I am met by Simon, Luju's communications officer. The festival is already in full swing as we pass through the different areas. Simon explains that Luju used to be a one-day festival, but has now merged into a two-day festival due to popular demand. He makes it a point of saying that even though the festival is growing bigger and bigger each year, it is not about getting the biggest names on stage. Rather, it's about creating a stage for the artists and creatives that both align with and expand the values of the Luju Food and Lifestyle Festival. Simon takes me to a top-up station so that I can fill my festival band, as Luju is a cashless festival. When I am done, I can't help but feel a little bit lost. My performance anxiety kicks in full force as Simon introduces me to the media people at the media tent. I feel like an imposter next to these professional radio newspaper people. Everyone is in a team. Don't forget to have fun! Simon squeezes my shoulder lightly, perhaps seeing how my face was turning paler and paler by the minute. I take a deep breath. Showtime! First night of Luju Festival 2023. I have a few hours before my first interview and I start by scoping out a place to eat. I've heard endlessly about how one of the three main pillars of Luju Festival is the food, the other two being fashion and music. I am more than excited when I walk around and smell the different aromas from the diverse cuisines. The lounge area has seated areas around the fire, and I end up enjoying some fresh spring rolls. The taste of coriander, chili, and ginger hits me full force, and I smile. I can feel the heat from the fire warming my back, and in front of me, the Luju Festival is coming to life as more and more people start dancing to I Am Siwa's beats. As I start walking towards the main stage, the next act goes on. Before I know it, the cold night air is filled with the powerful voices of Emasloko Floko Choir. The choir from Eswatini makes for a powerful start of the live music acts as its song of worship and devotion, joy and gratitude invite people to dance and sing along. Praise is praise, and I could feel the energy of the music in my soul, even though I didn't understand one word. Somewhere halfway through the performance, I sway away through the happy crowds towards the fashion cafe. Since my own planned wardrobe got stuck in South Africa, I was now eager to use this excuse to shop at Luju's infamous fashion market. Every vendor and creator I spoke to either talked about their heritage, co-living with nature, or their spirituality in some sense. My first artist to interview at Luju Festival, singer Dato Seiko from Botswana, seemed to personify these attributes in every sense, from her lyrics to her humble esoteric presence. Interview with Dato Seiko. At 8 o'clock the first evening of Luigi Festival 2023, the Botswanan singer Dato Seiko takes the stage. Her small stature in spite, her presence feels larger than the open-air stage she stands on. She has the audience spellbound from the first note sung. Her music can be described as a singer-songwriter gone R&B style, combined with vulnerable, heartfelt lyrics. The chilly Eswatini air only made itself known after Dato Seiko let the last note die out. When I later ask her if she's always felt comfortable on stage, she giggles a little and shrugs. I think the stage has always loved me. It chose me. I don't know how I even got here, but music has always found a way to me. Even when I tried to ignore it, it kept calling me. I mean, you have to rehearse quite a lot for you to be comfortable on stage, but the nerves never go away. I am still nervous every time, she answers. What is it that inspires you to go through that uncomfortable stage of nerves and do what you do? I continue asking her. I always say that we provide a healing service. We are service providers. People always need some type of healing. Our music is affordable therapy. I think seeing people resonate with the music that we write and the music that we make, or having somebody say that you told our story through your song and you don't even know them, it shows how powerful music is as a tool to actually heal people. It is not hard to feel she's right. Dato Seiko's songs vibrate right into where it feels the most, where you need it the most. How is it being a woman navigating a male-dominated business, I inquire. She replies, I like to believe that when grace is upon you, nothing can stop you. So even if it's a male-dominated industry, if you step in, your authority will be felt. Dato Seiko is not only known for her performance and music. She has over 300,000 followers on social medias, to whom she generously shares her best singing coach tips. I ask her, do you have any words of wisdom to somebody who's just starting out? Do what you have to do and believe in what you do. You are the best salesman for yourself, so believe in what you do thoroughly and do it. I think there's always someone out there that resonates with you, so don't think too much about it. Just do it and see it come to fruition. I look into her kind eyes as I thank her for her time, unable to express the peace her words have blessed me with. As I walk out into the cool Eswatini night, I can feel how the interview has grounded me. Is this what my life is like now? Mind blown! Luigi's lineup, Friday night, 2023. The rest of the evening is packed. Luigi's lineup is on fire. Straight after the interview, I head towards the Taste of Mozambique area, where the hood broads have the whole amphitheater boiling. It is almost impossible to get down to the dance floor, but I was up for the challenge, properly motivated by the DJs. I get down to the dance floor, and within 5 minutes, I am sweating, something I did not think was possible in the Eswatini winter night. After a good 30 minutes of dancing, I start heading back to the media tent to prepare for my next interview. Halfway there, I stop mid-step. I can't believe my ears, but clear as day, it's country music. I don't know about you, but Eswatini is the last place I'd expect to hear country music at. I walk towards the MasterCard stage and see what I now know is the Eswatini country duo, Dusty and Stone, making the whole crowd dance. I stay as long as I can and watch young and old have fun together to the happy music. Seeing the genius Zoe Modiga perform was a highlight out of this world. Having the honor to interview her is something I am still processing and will write extensively about soon. When I get back to the main stage, DJ Tido Love has everyone dancing their feet off. It feels like the whole field is swaying in unison as she mixes modern hits with timeless classics. After this, I was honestly ready to get home. My night felt complete, but I'd promised a friend not to miss Big Zulu's performance as she herself couldn't be here. I wasn't disappointed. His performance set the audience on fire to the extent it was sometimes hard to hear him over the chanting crowd. When I got back to the hostel, it was 3 a.m. and I could still hear the crowds in my ear. Getting from Luigi Festival without a car. There hadn't been any shuttles or taxis available when the festival's last concert had ended, only endless queues of cars. Eventually, two girls waiting for their mother to pick them up took pity on me and offered me a ride. Without a proper jacket, I gratefully accepted their offer, while messaging a picture of the car's registration number to a friend, just in case. I've been advised to always have my own car when traveling these regions, simply because it's easier. Even public transport doesn't run on time. But I believe it is important to be able to access events with public transport and taxis for economic accessibility and such, especially in countries where the larger portion of the population lives in poverty. Accessible transportation options directly correlates to who can come and enjoy these events. And that, my good friends, was part 1 out of 4 of the Luju Experience 2023. And as I said initially, if you are around the 2nd to 3rd of August 2024, we're doing Luju again. So please come join us. Check out the pictures from last year. Check out our festival community at www.theglobalentity.com. You can obviously contact us at any social medias. If you have something to say, another festival you think that we should do, please send us an email at hello@theglobalentity.com. This episode was edited by A Disruptive Holistic Design under the direction of Tawanda Joseph Mutsena. And me, your host, I am Julia Sarantis Anderson. I hope to see you next time.